Okay, we are live from Crane Christian Church, and it is the path to the palace. And guys, I want to tell you, this does not mean, I don't want you to misunderstand this series. We're talking about wisdom. We started on wisdom. We've been going on wisdom for a while in Proverbs. In the middle of that, I began to realize that we needed something. A lot of times for me to remember something, I need to tie it to a story. Does that make sense? When Jesus was teaching what he would literally do, he said, well, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like. How many times did he say that? Over and over and over. Or, you know, this is, you know, white, use the word white. I'll never forget the word picture, whitewashed tombs, when he's talking about the religious people of that day. And they were beautiful on the outside, but they had dead man's bones inside. You with me? Okay. So I thought, you know what? We need a story from the Bible that's anointed by the Holy Ghost to help us tie this wisdom to a story in our mind so we can follow it on a day. So this is like. So that's why we're dealing with my friend David. And the reason he's my friend is because we have some things similar. So Samuel 17 and 40. First Samuel. Yeah, you know, you start with one, then go to two. And all these questions. And then earlier people was asking where my wife's at, and then I had to figure that out. Okay, so when she's coming back, all those details, you know. So 1 Samuel 17 and 40 is where we're going to start in a minute, but we're going to do a quick review. And by the way, you can go to Bruce Kim Beeland Facebook and watch all of these back again, or Crane Christian Church and Community Center, or theolawdog.com. And you can go online to actual, with that, if you don't have Facebook, go to theoldlawdog.com online, and you can actually, there's a podcast on there that has all this, and I have people that I listen to all the time, and so I think, what was that number? 3,180 last month that we had people? I think that's what it was. Okay. So David, just quick points. David is anointed, selected, preordained, and predestined from the foundation of the earth. We see that in this picture. Literally, Samuel shows up, doesn't even know who he's there for. He shows up, he knows he's in this family. He gets the sons, he looks, oh man, that guy's good looking. He's tall, he's got experience, he's the guy. And God says, nope, I look on the inside, not the outside. And the next guy comes by. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. What? He's not. You said no to all of them. So he asks Jesse, he says, hey, Jesse, you got any more boys? He said, oh, yeah, there's David. He's out there in the field taking care. He's a young. He's out there in the field taking care of the sheep. He's just, you know, he says, well, we need to, if you're going to eat, you need to bring him in. We're not going to eat. You know, that's what. If you want to motivate people, say you're not going to eat till this person gets there. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I get pointed at for that. Okay. But the point being is this. He shows up inexperienced, nothing special, good looking kid, the Bible says. That's not the King James, but that's what it says. And he said, he poured it on it, and then he was anointed. So the first thing I want you to get this morning is you are chosen, selected, preordained, predestined, and anointed to be what God's called you to be. But guess what? You're free. You're a free moral agent. You don't have to do it. You can go a different direction. And I know the people in my life that have made that choice, they suffer greatly because of that. No, I'm serious. And I was one of them. God called me to preach at 6 years old. And after what I had seen in the church, I said, heck no. Why would I want to grab that dog by the ears? Why would I want to do that? He called me again in Turkey years later. I said, okay, Lord, I'll be a Bible teacher. I'll be a Sunday school teacher. Okay, I give up. No, that's not what he wanted. Okay. and I suffered because of it. But guess what? God has a way of getting our attention. Has anybody else ever experienced that? Okay. Falling off of something maybe, or, you know, crashing. Okay. Okay. So then David goes back to being obedient to his dad. He goes back to the field, and during that time, you're not going to believe what happened. Rah! A lion came. And guess what? He fought the lion and got the lamb back from the lion. And I want to tell you something. Let's say he's 13. Let's say he's 18. Let's say he's 14. Let's say he's 16. Whatever he was. I'm going to tell you something. He had been out there practicing with that slang and that staff, right? And he took that and he went and got that lamb back. He overcame his, listen to this word, fear. He overcame his fear and he went and did that. And I want to tell you something. Fear will freeze you. It will freeze you. And there's a guy named Mark Devine. He's a Navy SEAL. He does a lot of speaking and teaching. But Mark Devine, and one of the things that he says is so interesting to me. He said, in the SEALs, they don't teach them to, they do work with the mindset and those things. He said, but when we're teaching SEALs, what we tell them that the opposite of fear is not bravery. And I'm like, I'm listening to this podcast. I'm like, let me rewind that. You know, turn the cassette back. Wait, I don't think it was a cassette. Okay. Anyway, but the opposite of fear is not being brave. It's action. So instead of him sitting there thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it, and anybody ever overthink anything? Now, I don't have that problem. Y'all, some of y'all might. Okay. Okay. You think about it, you think about it, you think about it. And it's a good thing to get, like, if I'm gonna buy, it's hard for me to buy a coffee maker unless I do the Google search and, you know, look at the reviews and call 17 people that I know. And, you know, but here's the deal. Sometimes when that fear comes against you, it is the enemy trying to rob, kill, steal, and destroy what God has for you. Okay? And here's the deal, guys. What he did is he beat that fear. And the other thing, other time, a bear came. A bear came and took one of them, and he went and dealt. And I want to tell you, I know you have bear is, you know, that's you could be afraid of a bear too. I've actually killed a bear, you know, but that's beside the point. I used a Q-tip to kill a bear when I was hunting. You know that. Y'all don't believe that? Okay. Pull tab off of a Diet Coke, none of that. A can opener. Y'all don't believe any of those stories? Okay, maybe it was a 300 Winchester Magnum. Maybe it was a 300 Winchester Magnum. Okay, that maybe, yeah, just exaggerate slightly. But anyway, but the point being, when you look up the word bear in the Hebrew, it goes to the word sloth, which, have you ever seen a sloth move? Slow. Lazy. Time to take another nap. We have to overcome fear first, but then we have to overcome complacency and laziness. Okay? And I want to tell you something. There was a guy one time talking about another guy, and you know, that's gossip, but I was there. And he said, well, you know, if I didn't know better, I'd think he might be lazy. We were talking, anyway. But anyway, but the point being is you're going to have to overcome those things to become what God's called you to be. Do you want to be what God's called you to be? Yes. I want to tell you something. I want to be the man God has called me to be. And the reason I'm sure of it is because God gave me that prayer 40 years ago. And I've been praying it ever since. And don't get me wrong. I have not arrived, whatever that means. Okay. But I'm on the path. Does that make sense? Okay. So David conquered the lion and the bear while he was being obedient to his father. And guess what? Last week we talked about Goliath. Oh, man. Goliath. I don't even like the way that sounds. Okay. But here's the deal. When he showed up, David was out in the field with his sheep. When Goliath showed up for 40 days, he's pointing at them saying, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to kill you. Send one of your guys out here right for 40. And again, everybody in the nation was afraid. And when the Goliaths in our life show up, what's the first thing that happens? Fear. Okay? And they were, from that fear, they were frozen. And then David shows up. Okay? David shows up. And he, the only reason he's there, he don't even know there is a Goliath. He's there, watch this, in obedience to his father. Again, that day-to-day walk with Christ, that day-to-day walk with the Lord, hearing him, reading his word, praying, and that's where how we get to where we need to be in life is the day-to-day. Listen, his mercy is new every morning. Is anybody else glad for that? No, I'm serious. I am a redneck, okay? And I need grace. And I love the fact that every morning, hey, guess what? My bank account is back where it's supposed to be. Now, this is with God. This is not my real bank account. It's, yeah. We don't want to talk about that. Okay. So, but here's the deal. When he showed up, it made everybody afraid. And they had fear. And that, and it, their focus was on the giant. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, no. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Should we do this? Should we start this program? Should we start? Should we take up an offering? Should we do this? Should we do that? And you know what? David shows up. In obedience to his dad, just to bring some grapes and persimmons, or I don't have in front of me, whatever he was bringing, okay? Something to eat for his brothers, okay? Check on his brothers. His dad was worried. He shows up, and guess what happens? He says, he begins to focus. He sees the giant. We don't forget the giant, but he begins to focus on his faith. You see the difference? One focuses on the giant, but one focuses on the answer to the giant, okay? If all you think about is the problem, because that's what the enemy does, remember? He is a finger pointer. He's an accuser of the brethren. But I've actually lived this, and that's why it's so close to me, okay? I've lived it, and I want to tell you guys, when you start focusing on him, all these other things get dimmer and dimmer, and he gets brighter and brighter. Does that make sense? We talked about the little magnifying glass, and I left out one part of that last week. You know, I can make this like this, it makes it bigger, whatever I focus on. But if I go out there and get in the sun and focus the sun, but I want you to think of that as instead of S-U-N, it's S-O-N, as I begin to focus the power of the sun on that problem, because that's the focus, and you're using, you see what your faith is, the, and as you do that, there'll be a fire, and with that fire comes power. Okay, you remember what happened in Acts? When the flame showed up, the church started growing. Remember that? Okay. Yeah, I know that's rabbit ears, but, you know, okay. So, just a small, you know. I actually saw a lady light her hair on fire once, but that was by accident. Her son had turned the lighter up, and she went to light her cigarette and caught her hair on fire. And, you know, I didn't slap her on top of the head because I thought I might be charged. Okay. Anyway, I let her put it out by herself. So anyway, but here's the deal. What are you going to focus on? Okay. You're going to focus on the problem. Are you going to focus on the person of Jesus Christ? How many of you guys want to go with me and focus on the person of Jesus Christ? The one who says, all power and authority has been given to me. Does he say that? When he rose from the dead, he came out and told his posse, the people that were around him, he said, all power and authority has been given to me. Do you believe that? Is he in charge? God's God, and I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is Lord. So here's the deal. He's obedience, and when he's in obedience, it lines us up for his the blessing and to fulfill our purpose. And immediately after that, his brother comes out and says, well, you know what? I don't know why you're not still out there with those sheep. You think you're such a big deal coming up here like that. You know why he did that? Because he's jealous. Because his faith is making his fear come to the light. Does that make sense? And David didn't do that on purpose. David didn't go in there and say, oh yeah, you're afraid. No. So what happened? He just starts walking his walk. And don't be surprised when people come against you. Don't be surprised if it's some of the people closest to you. Okay. And that happened. That was his brother. People will criticize. Anybody here ever been criticized? Mm-hmm. Once or twice? Okay. today. Oh, anyway. So then here's the deal. The last thing before we get into, this is just the introduction. So we'll almost finish the introduction before next week. Anyway, but the point being, what's this? So Saul finds out David's willing to do it. He comes in and immediately, get this. Immediately, Saul starts wanting him to do it the way he does it. Mm-hmm. Shocking. Because you know, it's working so well so far. It's working so well. Everybody's just nothing. Oh, it's no problem. It's just 7 Harleys going south. No big deal. Okay. But here's the deal. Literally, guys, he literally says, well, you wear my sword. You wear my stuff. You do it my way. Okay. And when I became a pastor, actually with the work for first time, full time for a church, I had suits and I had ties and I was talking like this, please get like him, and all that. And I had it down to, and guess what? It wasn't me. It wasn't me. But what did happen was I learned something. Guess what? If you want to do something, if you want different results, you have to do something differently. If sitting on the couch and you eating potato chips is not making you healthy, you can always try, phase 2. plan B or whatever. Okay, if the purpose is to be healthy. So anyway, but the point being is this. He put that stuff on and he said, I can't fight with this. I can't do this. And then he goes and gets up, picks up his gear, which is him. And I have 3 letters that I want to tell you this morning, whether you're online or you're, it's not even words, it's letters. You ready? You be you. Okay. In the boundary of the Word of God. Okay. That's the book. Okay. But you be you. You don't have to do it like I do. Okay. You don't have to do it like this person did it. You know, I had some friends, it was not me, no joke, that went to college many years ago to a famous person's college. And right in the middle of them going to this school and being trained on how to do things the way that he did it, he fell in a big way. Some things were revealed, national news, international news, blah, 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 blah. And literally, I'll never forget the fallout from that. What am I going to do? And I said, well, I'm not following him. I've listened. He's a great preacher. He's a good musician. It's good. Everything he does is good. But he's not my model. Jesus is my model. Okay. And it was horrible. It's a horrible thing. And I'm not making light of it, but we don't have to look at the world and say, oh no, that guy's got a jet plane. That guy's got this. That guy's, you're not following them. You're following Jesus. The guy who got like 2 donkey rides in his whole life. I mean, you see what I'm saying? And here's the deal. That don't mean you need, I can help you with a mule. I looked at one the other day. But anyway, but the point being is you be what God's called you to be. You do it the way God's called you to do it. And use the weapons that he's given you to use to fight your Goliath. And anyway, it did not fit the protocol of what everybody else thought. So that's the introduction. So that's half our time. Okay. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 40. He took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, guys, I am a I'm a consultant in some other areas, okay? And I consult people on how to take care of themselves and what kind of equipment they need to take care of themselves and that kind of stuff. And as I do that, equipment's important. And guess what? How many giants were there up there at that point?
One.
One giant. But did he get 5 stones?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you know later on it mentions that he had 4 brothers? It's not even in this text. It's on further down the way. It talks about the brother, the other giants. I don't know if they were there. I don't know if they were sitting eating popcorn watching. I don't know what was going on. Okay. But the point being is he got enough rocks for all of them, you know, and he could have said, well, you know, it's a long walk down there. I'm just going to get one, you know, but he was prepared, right? Okay. So don't be afraid to be prepared. Okay. So then he took the 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in a shepherd bag, the pouch which he had. He got his sling. So the Philistine came and he began to draw near. It was that time of day when he comes out there and says, yeah, you guys don't know nothing, blah, 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 blah. Well, do Goliaths run their mouth? Do Goliaths run their mouth in your life? Okay. He came and began to draw near to David, and the man who bore the shield was before him. So he's got this big shield. He's got a shield bearer out here. Remember, he's got a 125-pound coat of mail. He's got a spear with a 15-pound head on it. You're talking about a giant here, okay? And the Philistine came and began to draw near. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. Okay? I love that. I love that. Because I'm going to tell you something. The devil is not as smart as you think he is. If the devil was smart, he would have had demons around Jesus to keep him from getting crucified. You say, what? Oh, yeah. Because he's not as smart as you always say, oh, don't give power to the enemy. Give power to the king. Okay? And I'm not saying we don't have powers and principalities and in high places fighting us and, you know, wanting to kill, steal, and destroy. I know all that. Okay, but just understand, we win. We win. We win. And you go, well, you know, you don't know what's happening in my life. Well, I'm going to tell you, you don't know what's happening in my life. But guess what? I'm winning. When this is over with, whether I live 20 more minutes or 40 more years, I'm winning. Because he won. Not because I'm anything. I'm nothing. Because he won. And focus on the fact that he won, because you can put a little jump in your step when you know you're following the leader and he's winning. If you're getting beaten ahead by the devil, it's more like this. You don't have to live like that. If you look at all the circumstances, oh no, this is going on. Oh no, this is going on. The courts, this, that, you know, they're not in charge. They don't have another breath unless God gives it to them. You go, what? Oh, yeah. Everyone's days are in his hands. Whether you're good, bad, ugly, mean, God's in charge. Well, then you go, well, why is God doing this? Well, are you God? You don't know what God's doing. But I know what I'm doing. I'm getting a cough drop. All right, so, it's got a little lint on it. That'll be good. It's been there for a while. It's probably from the 70s, left over from my mom's purse. You know, I don't throw nothing away. Anyway, so, here's the deal. He gets out there. He disdained him. He was but a youth, ruddy and good looking. So, Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? It hurt his feelings that they didn't bring a tank out there to fight him. Oh, bless the little giant's heart. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. The devil will always have, at least one point in a fight, he'll always ask you the same thing. Who in the heck do you think you are? Who are you? Who do you think you are? You did this. You failed here. You did this. That's his first line of defense. Who do you think you are? I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm a wretched sinner, saved by the most magnificent grace and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be faithful in what he's called me to do. And that's who I am. And I'm going to tell you, have I screwed it up to the point sometimes it was even unrecognizable? Absolutely. Have I? Absolutely. Have you? Well, no, you're a lot better than me. That's good. So, because, you know, he uses the foolish things to confound the wise. When you show up like this, you say, well, I've never done anything like that. Well, yeah. Okay, good for you. Be careful. There's going to be a hole in front of you. You better get your nose down. Look down before you fall in it. Okay. So,
as far as anybody knows, I've never been in any trouble.
I've hit it all really well. It's like fake book.
My life is perfect. Ooh, look at me.
And in the background, you got their kids going. There's husbands in the back with a chainsaw cutting the top of the back of the house off.
I hate you.
My life is perfect. No. Look at me. Oh, look at me. Then you hear the sirens in the background. Woo, woo, woo. Okay. Anyway, just a word picture to help you remember when you see those people that their life is.
I'm an influencer.
Maybe not. Okay. I may be influenced, but maybe not the way they want me to be. Okay. So, David, he didn't get his hurt. He didn't get his feelings hurt. And then Philistine cursed David by his gods. And there's this little known scripture. Okay. Little known scripture. And it's, interestingly, it's in Proverbs. And it says, you know, an undeserved curse just kind of flutters away like a bird. You got people, they're talking about me. Good. Give them something to talk about. Okay. They're doing this. Good. Because you know what they're doing? They're heaping coals on their own head. Merry Christmas. Watch them burn later. You know? And when they do, pray for them. Don't say,
I told you so.
Okay. Anyway, because that's my nature. Okay. But here's the deal. He cursed him by his gods. And I'm going to tell you something. All things are working together for your good. Those of us who are called according to his purpose and love him. Do you love God this morning? Yes. All right. Get up every morning, look in the mirror, say, I'm chosen, selected, preordained, predestined from the foundation of the earth to be the man or woman God has called me to be. And realize that is the truth and not all the stuff that the enemy's throwing at you. Okay. And in the middle of your failure, in the middle of your shame, in the middle of right there, that light shines through. And as you see his love for you, it will change that day. And remember, we live for him day by day, not year by year, not month by month, not lifetime by lifetime. It's a day by day, step by step. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Come on. Get you some of this. All right. And David said to the Philistine, okay, watch what you say. What you say about other people. Watch what you say about anything. Watch what you pronounce with your, remember your tongue is a rudder that guides this thing. Did you know not one time do I say this country's going down the tube? Did you know I never say that? Do you know why I say that? Because my mouth is powerful. God created the heavens and the earth by speaking them into existence. Okay? And you are his child. David said the Philistine, he didn't say, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. You're this, you're that. No, this is what he said. He said, you come at me with a sword and spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name
in the name of the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts means the God of angel armies. And the Lord of hosts was the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And I want to tell you something. In the name of Jesus, I'm the man that he called me to be. Not in my own flesh, not in my, it's by his strength. It's by him. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Now he is prophesying what he's saying. He's prophesying. He is speaking it. It says, in this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Is that what happened?
Yes.
Okay, that's what happened. He saw it. He was obedient to the Lord. He saw it in his spirit, and he said it with his mouth. And guess what happened next? And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He was doing it for the Lord. He wasn't doing it for himself. Now, full disclosure, okay, we're all, I mean, literally before this, he had asked the question earlier in the story. He goes, so what's going to happen to the guy that beats this giant? They said, well, we're going to take care of your taxes. We're going to give you a wife, you know, a few things you might want later. But the king, one of the king's daughters, you know, it'll work out for you. That's what the word is right now, you know. So he had asked that question. But I want to tell you something. You see what's coming out of his mouth. You see that instead of fear, he's moving forward. He had already beaten fear and laziness before that. And you will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head till the earth go all the way down. With the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. Then the symbol shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and the spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. How many of you guys are fighting something right now? I want you to say these words with me.
The battle
is the Lord's. It's whether it's health, whether it's sadness, relationship, finances, the battle is the Lord. And that doesn't mean that we don't get up every morning and put our britches on, our skirts or whatever, okay? That doesn't mean that. You still do what you've been called to do. It's in that obedience that God opens those doors to knock down those Goliaths in our life. Does everybody see that? I've said it like 6 times today, okay? So somebody needs that bad, okay? So, and then it was so when the Philistines arose and drew near to meet David, David hastened and ran toward the army. Does he see that point? This point is important. This point is important. Do you know where procrastination comes from? It's not laziness. No. Procrastination comes from fear. What if? What if? But. What if? But. I had to make a decision this week. This decision has been crowding me for 4 months, okay, 5 months. It's a very important decision. I had to make it this week. I had to make it, okay? I say I had to make it, okay. I could have put it off another, you know, but I was literally in the middle of the battle. I was literally in the middle, and I just said, I'm going that direction. And guess what? Everything else just fell off. All that doubt, all that fear, all that, what about, because nobody else ever overthink, you don't overthink anything, do you? Huh? What if I do this? What if I do that? What if I do this? What if I do that? What if I do this? What if I do that? What about, what? Nobody else overthinks that, do they? Okay, good, good for you. All right. So he ran to the battle. And he hastened, that's the New King James, and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag. Now, I'll tell you what he didn't do. Let's talk about what David didn't do in this last little part we got here. What did he not do? What he didn't do is get up there and see that thing and said,
Was this a good idea? What was I thinking? Now, I've actually had that thought several times. You know, I think there was a song about that. What was I thinking? Anyway, the point being is this, guys. He saw the enemy. He continued on the path. He ran toward that. But he didn't just stand by and look at it and pray, Lord, I know you got to bring fire from heaven. I know you can do this. I know. Would you just knock him down for me while I stand here? You know what I found out about being a pastor, you know, because I actually came from many, many years ago, so that don't try to figure this out. There were people that would say, you know, well, you know, I'm this and I'm that, and I'll have these people do that and these people. No, delegation's a good thing because, you know, you can do stuff, more stuff with more people, right? But if you can't set up chairs, you don't need to be a pastor. I'm serious. If you can't change a flat for somebody, okay, or no, I don't mean that physically. I'm just talking about if you're too good to do that, okay, you don't need to, that's not a servant. You see what I'm saying? He put his hand to the plow. He had skin in the game. He didn't stay in the stands and say, Lord, you know, would you strike him dead? No. He got a rock and a slingshot and went forward in faith. Now, think about that. I would have wanted a light anti-tank weapon. Okay, that would have been my first choice. Okay, I've actually fired one. They work well. But here's the deal. I fired a simulator. I did not fire a real one. Did I? I went to the school anyway. So, it's been a week or two. All right. So, anyway, he runs there. He put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, struck him in the forehead, and the stone sank in his forehead, and he fell to his face on the earth. Let's say what else he didn't do. He didn't start doing the victory dance. No, he did not, did he? Did he? What did he do? He followed up. He continued to move forward and make sure the problem was completely taken care of, right? He took and listen, he used whatever he had around him. What if he said, oh, there may be devils on that sword? Oh, he took that sucker. Whack! Cut his head off. Because I've seen a lot of dead folks, but I've never seen anybody do anything after their head was cut off. Okay? Not even a chicken. A chicken flops a little bit afterwards. But, okay. I've actually been present for decapitations of chickens. So. And they would taste great about an hour and a half later. Smelled funny for a while, but anyway. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword. He ran, stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Guess what? They were not all that and a biscuit. Because, you know, they were standing behind that Goliath, weren't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, that's the way bullies are. You take out the bully, and all the bullyettes run away every time. Okay? Because guess what? Their faith and confidence was in a man. His faith and confidence is in God. Was that what happened? Okay. So then the men of Israel and Judah shouted and arose. Now, what was the difference between that and 40 days earlier? One guy heard God. One person heard God, was obedient to God, went forward, fought the leader, won against the leader, and now the rest of them are all like, yeah, we want some of that. Is that what happened? When you make the choices you make, it will inspire others to do what God's called them to do. It will inspire, okay? God breathed them to do those things. And that's why it's important for us to be obedient, because the people behind us. So the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted, pursued them as far and tell square and all that. And the children returned from the field, and they had plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it into Jerusalem. and put his armor in his tent. Okay, so what's this?
Guys, the follow-up of you winning against your Goliath will be the kingdom of God being blessed and coming behind you. And that's just a spiritual principle. As we win the fight against our Goliath, what it does is inspire others to do what God's called them to do. So guys, I want to have one quick announcement. November the 3rd, Toy Drive, Biker Sunday, right here. Come. If you don't have a motorcycle, that's great. But you know, you can get a toy, bring money, bring whatever. There'll be good food. We'll have church here at our normal times. It'll be a regular service here, except you'll be able to smell something coming from across the street. It's good. Okay. And at some point, we will eat and have probably some raffle giveaway stuff. Remind me to go check on that stuff again, please. And then we will be having a short ride afterwards, but the food's the main part, and the kids are actually the main part. So that is November the 3rd. So, Father, thank you so much for the people that are here in person and the ones online, God. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that as Goliath rears his ugly head, as it rears up, God, I pray that we would, these simple truths inspired by the Word of God would come to our mind, Lord, and we would begin to initiate those, Lord, in our life in obedience and in the Father. And instead of being afraid, instead of procrastinating, Lord, we run to the battle. And we love you. We give our lives to you, Lord, and thank you so much for your grace. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Be back in about 41 minutes.